Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. This show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org. You are listening to the only show on air that asserts the constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. The phone number to call in on, 215-867-8255. That would be 215-TOP-TALK. Now, as I've said, and I'm trying to express this to all the chairs when I reach out to them, as well as state legislators and so forth, this show is actually dedicated to them. They are the leaders and the grassroots leaders who have everything to do with saving this republic. So this show is dedicated to supporting both the legislators and those county grassroots leaders and those in those legislative districts that are grassroots leaders who can actually assist in making sure that their state legislators will do their job in protecting us from federal tyranny. Because if we can get them to commit to the Constitution and protecting their constituents from federal tyranny, that means that they are going to be protecting all of us from federal tyranny. So today's a big day. We've got some endorsements and or announcements to make. But before I get into that, let me clearly beg, if you don't have anything to do, if you want to get involved in a worthy cause, if you want to be able to support a historic effort, because there's no doubt restoring our constitutional republic is a historic effort. And so you're more than welcome to join. There's plenty of things that I could use help with. And so you don't have to have a lot of money. And as a matter of fact, if you have money, since we don't have really a candidate to support at this point in time, if you want to donate, you go to the, I think it's the donation page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you can throw some love my way. But if you are limited on resources and money, I'd rather you keep that and use your money to help and support those candidates who need the campaign support for advertising or what have you to help get them across the finish line. We need to get these legislators who are willing to commit to preserving and supporting the Constitution and calling for republic review into office. So save that money. Unless you've got plenty, then by all means, throw me some love. But if not, then please hold on to that, because when I ask you to support these different candidates as we go into these different races, they're going to need some support. So that being said, if you have a computer, if you've got time and you're literate with your computer or you're good with a phone or what have you, you let me know and I can employ you. And let me see here. How can I compensate you with great accolades and thanks? I don't have any money because, of course, this is all being ran on, and believe it or not, it's all being ran on miracles. And so, as always, I did scour the news, and there is no sign or news that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. So what does that mean? That means that we have to do this. We actually have to get the Republic to pull up its britches and take a stand, get David to stand up against Goliath, and get many Davids to stand up against Goliath. And in doing that, I believe we will be at the beginning of a new journey, one that the framers actually foresaw for us, one of, once again, a limited government and a definitely limited and defined federal government, and where the states can enjoy all the resources and all the opportunities that avails them via their states, their state's property, their state's land, those raw resources, people capital, what have you. And so I think it's really important that we do stand up. That's why I've got this show, and you are listening to Reclaiming the Republic. Anyway, I do have a question. It's a standing question, so you can either answer that or you can ask another question. Obviously, the phone lines are open for anybody that may want to come on. That I only caveat that if it's either within the content of what I'm ranting about, like yesterday I had a caller call in that talked about the cultural war, or actually he thought it was a morality war, a war on morality. And so I can understand his paradigm. But that being said, the question that stands today is what or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land that we refer to as reservations? Reservations for race, reservations for plants, reservations for endangered species, you name it. Where in the Constitution does the federal government have that authority that we delegated to them to use state land and state property for these purposes? And so when you find it, just give me a call. You can find the Constitution in its entirety on the Avalon Project. And so go through it, rip through it. It won't take you long. You should have it all memorized or at least read through before the end of the show. Anywho, I did want to plug the Red Pill Expo. It is coming up the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of June. So go get your tickets at redpillexpo.org. And don't forget that there's going to be all, just go there and look at who's going to be there. And I think that you will probably find all sorts of people that would motivate you to want to be a part of this. Now, I did see something in the news as I scoured through, and so I've got a little sarcastic perspective, because they're saying that the Chinese salamander is at the verge of extinction. And I'm not sure how much world pressure is slamming the Chinese government over, you know, this extinction of this little amphibian, reptile, what have you. But bear in mind, they do not have a constitution of hard limits of what the government can or can't do, like the U.S. See, if we had a species that was literally going into extinction here in the United States, as much as the federal government may want to do anything and everything they can to probably save that species, it is not in the Constitution for them to do that. They have no right, role, responsibility, or power over those things. And so here in China, they have a despot ruler that, you know, is the sovereign, and Xi can do anything he wants. So why doesn't he? Why doesn't he put that salamander over the betterment of his people? Because it's a species and it's almost extinct and it needs to be saved. He is not being constrained, and yet he does nothing. And here we don't have the ability to do anything. And our government goes, you know, bonkos and goes, it violates the Constitution, the very Constitution, just to do these types of things. And so it's a paradox, isn't it? Why is it that only we have this compassion? Why is it that Americans are the only ones susceptible to this type of leverage of, oh, you got to feel sorry for the salamander and we've got to save these blades of grass or what have you? It's ridiculous, I know, but unfortunately, that is the sad state of affairs in the world. And it seems like that's why we have no business, by the way, we have no business being in any of these accords, because we're the only ones with the honor and integrity that is going to keep them. Just like this Iran deal. We were the only ones keeping it. Iran, as soon as they went out the gate, they were deceiving us and they were doing all sorts of things in violating that accord. And so they're doing everything they can to skirt every agreement because they want to be able to produce nukes and they want to be able to blow Israel off the map as well as the U.S. So why do we even do business deals, or why do we even do foreign trade and deals with these folks? These are pure enemy evil people. But I digress. My point is, is that China could do something. They're not constrained and they won't, but America will. And therefore, I provide you a paradox. Anywho, as I always say, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. This is why the Constitution is our only weapon for defense, and as well as it is our only shield in our defense as well. Now, let me get into, we're 2 weeks away from South Dakota's primary. And actually, having reached out and tapped and reached out and exchanged dialogue with text and phone call messages and so forth, I could not get one, not a one, legislator in the state of South Dakota willing to commit to protecting the Constitution. They didn't want to talk to me, or they didn't avail themselves to talk to me, whatever. I have some interesting dialogue with a few, but it's really unfortunate that some of them would, you know, puff up their chest, but they did everything they could not to really have full engagement, because maybe they knew where I was coming from. Maybe they knew that I might put them on a sheet to sign something, have a pledge, and they'll be accountable to something. Heavens forbid. They would lose their freedom of being able to be the best legislator they could. And that, to me, is a facade, my friends. When you have to take an oath to support, defend, and obey the Constitution, then as far as I'm concerned, signing that pledge just goes right in line with that oath that you have to take. Well, with that, I can tell you we're at a hard break, and that's unfortunate news with South Dakota, but I have some more news on the cultural or ideological or moral war that we're facing. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
And so let me get back to the issue at hand, and that was South Dakota. I did get a senator to send me the conservative or constitutional rankings, and of course, he was up on top, but of course, I couldn't get any of his time. He had a surgery and so forth, and was just unable to avail himself over the course of the last 3 weeks or so. But that being said, if you look at the grades and the rankings, there are a lot of liberal Republicans that are voting for liberal policies. So what this tells me is the Agenda 21 planners, whatever you want to call them, these people that are penetrating into the states, local communities, and so forth, there is an army of these folks. And, oh, yeah, they're paid for by you and me and their tax, our tax dollars and so forth. And these kids and people that are lobbying for Agenda 21 policies and programs are having an effect. And you can see how these Republicans are being lulled by these progressive policies. So this is a very alarming situation that a dark red state like South Dakota is just non-responsive and has their... It's hard to imagine that the majority of the seats that were up for re-election were uncontested, unchallenged. The only challengers are the Democrats. So the Democrats are fighting for their primary in 2 weeks, and so whoever wins that gets to take on the challenger, but it's almost like a slam dunk. So no wonder they don't have to worry. This is why it is going to be imperative that I get into their GOP Central Committee chairs and start talking to them about, are you really happy with this? Is this what you expected for your state, for the establishment to manage it, and you're just some pawn to do their bidding and make sure that, you know, they keep these established people in here? If not, then they need, that's why I said that this isn't just dedicated to the state legislators. This is actually also dedicated to the employer of those public servants. If you understand the relationship, those county chairs are the ones who endorse. Those county chairs are the ones who can, you know, get somebody elected or make sure they don't get elected, because they have a little army of district leaders, PCOs, and so forth that can get out there, knock on doors, and go, we want you to vote for this person, not this person. And this is why. So they have a very effective ground game to beat any politician if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So this is why I find it very important. It is paramount that county chairs start understanding. And I guess in Kansas, they're legislative chairs because they have legislative district chairs instead of county chairs. But anyway, I find it alarming that these chairs do not understand that they are basically the grassroots of what's supposed to be boiling up. They should not be allowing the top to boil down. It is almost unnatural for those things to occur and happen. What has to happen is, like I said, this coming November, I expect to see a lot of county chairs sending out a lot of letters or emails to all of their victorious Republicans who won their race and is going to get sworn in. You send them this little email that says, hey, congratulations. However, we have some expectations of you, and we have some concerns because recently you haven't been kind of abiding by the things that we think you should be. Therefore, we think it's imperative that we communicate what our expectations are. And we want you to report back to us, because I'm telling you, that's what the relationship should be. The employer should be dictating to the employee, that public servant, that person that has begged for your vote, not because he can command and power over you. He is supposed to represent you. He's not supposed to tell you what to do. You're supposed to tell him what to do. And if they don't like public service, then get the heck out. Go become, you know, a boss of your own company and tell people what to do. When it comes down to who should be dictating, that's how important these county chairs are. That is why we've got to stop electing these rhinos and these people who do not care about those people wearing their brand. And you can only care about those who your county has a voice or an influence over that votes for. So therefore, if you've got a state legislator, even your congressman, those people are people that are wearing your brand, and you have a right and a duty to send to them what you expect them to be doing. And if they're not doing those things, then you let them know, well, we're working diligently to replace you. I always love the idea of in their last session, because usually representatives get 2 years, right? I say in their last session, towards the end, you send them that person you've been grooming to replace them with a sealed envelope to that legislator. You send them off to the Capitol before they end the session and go, hey, this is so-and-so. I want you to show him the ropes. And then when he reads this little note in there, oh, by the way, this is the gentleman that we are going to support in unseating you. And then let them understand the fact that they have completely lost the support of the county, which is what they are dependent on. Because bottom line, there are consequences to decisions, right? You decide to engage in some kind of behavior, like adult behavior as a child, and you end up having an unwanted pregnancy. Well, those are the consequences to your behavior. It's the same thing with taking drugs or doing anything that is addictive. There are consequences to behavior. And so you make those types of decisions, well, just be prepared to have to deal with the consequence. And some of those consequences are pretty tough. In politics, it can be very, very tough because you could be beholden to some wrong people and all of a sudden you don't have a slam dunk anymore. What the heck are you going to do? I really don't care. I think what's really important is the fact that county chairs need to start taking back control and they need to start centering themselves on the Constitution. If they do that, like I've been saying, as I keep on repeating, if we're using the Constitution as our weapon and as our shield, we will win every battle. And if these county chairs do that, they follow that advice, they live by that credo, then I will tell you that we are going to see a very fast change in America. It is that simple. So let me remind you that everything that we kind of see and everything we engage in, it's all has to do with perspective, right? And so the paradigm you choose to see the world through, or the lenses that you choose to use in viewing the world, is one of those that will help you understand the world the way that those lenses will work. So if you're wearing red lenses, then everything you see is going to be red tones, and, you know, it'll be a red world. So the whole point is that however you see the world is how you are going to accept the world, or however you question the world will help you come to a much more, let's say, a pragmatic or a more profound understanding of the world. And so getting into this paradigm, you choose to see the world is either in questioning it or accepting it. And that becomes your worldly paradigm. This is why it is essential to understand the evil we are facing in this debate or this cultural, moral war, whatever you want to call it. I can call it a cognitive debate if you want, if that sounds better. So let us look at the paradigm with regards to the question of whether one, as I was saying yesterday, is a byproduct of some alternate or alternative sexual orientation. As far as I'm concerned, as I set the ground rules yesterday, there is yet to be a human being walking on the face of the earth that has been actually cloned that I'm aware of, or I should say that has been genetically engineered, where you've had two fathers contribute their seed so that child could be born and raised because it's really hard for men to bear children. But anyway, you understand my point. There's none out there that have truly been made by two men or two women. So in other words, when you see or engage in a person, they are a person that is a byproduct of heterosexuality. They are not a byproduct of homosexuality. We have to keep that perspective. And so when one starts understanding that one has an affinity for having an alternate sexual orientation, then you have to understand that they have a defeatist or destructive orientation towards their very own being. And I'll get into this a lot more when we come back after the break. So please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. Yes. And so today we live in a messed up world. And that is because we are accommodating harmful behavior. We seem to be very cautious about a child and a gun. Instead of teaching children gun safety and the purpose of a gun and those types of things, if you go to plenty of these red states, you'll find that there's gun training, gun competition, and those types of things actually in schools. But in the progressive side, they've considered that harmful behavior. But they have no compunction, they have no reservations whether a child is being exposed to all sorts of sexual behavior, deviant behavior at a very young age. And as a matter of fact, right now, the intent is for children to get them to consider exploration and literally trying to self-identify at a very young age, at a very immature age, as to what they're going to be. And the intent is for the school system to be able to track them so that they can protect them from their dogmatic and evil parents. So now I would ask that you take a look at a parallel paradigm of enlightenment. And so when you start to think of questions like the origins of children, are they a byproduct of homosexuality or heterosexuality? Also think about what is best for society. Is it best to be thinking of children as their byproducts or as their orientation? Or is it best to be thinking of them in some role and or position that they should be taking within society, whether that be a statesman, whether that be a cartographer, whether that be a lawyer, whether that be a law enforcement, regardless of those positions, it's whatever that person finds suitable or something that they enjoy. Because I know lots of people that have been very miserable over their entire life for the type of work they did. A friend, actually a family member, who was an anesthetist. And as an anesthetist, he was miserable. He made lots of money, but he was a very miserable man. And sadly, here's a guy that could take you to the brink of death and then bring you back in surgery, and could not put his head underneath the bonnet of his car to change his oil or even know anything about that car. He's completely dependent on anybody, and he could easily be taken advantage of by a mechanic if a mechanic was so inclined. But anyway, in other words, are we better off to encourage sexual deviance and or freedom of sexual expression? Or would society be better served with restraint and discipline? This is what Edmund Burke, Kirk, and a lot of these conservative-minded statesmen, philosophers asserted, that we had to maintain a level of restraint and discipline as well as decencies within society and so forth. As soon as we start allowing that protective outer layer of our society to, you know, placate or to accommodate these desires, these wants, because they're not needs, these are wants. And so when we start placating these things, then we start decaying our society. And it seems the secular progressives now want to get us to start taking care of all basic needs. How far off is the day that a person in public will have the right to self-gratify themselves in public? I mean, you have the right to food, you have a right to, you know, feel a certain way, you are going to give them the right to feel a certain way at any point in time? That's the dangerous path we're on, folks, and that's how bad society gets when we stop, when we take off our restraints and we stop disciplining ourselves. That's what happens. And I've been telling you that we don't have a problem with guns. We have a problem with our morals. We have a problem with our education system, because our education system has been programming kids to become more and more immoral. I can tell you for years, the Platonists or communists have been poking their finger in our eyes, demanding that we be tolerant. Now that they've been emboldened, I'll give you some cases in point. Look at California. How tolerant are the progressives in California? I mean, their behavior speaks for itself. Right now, I've talked to some friends in California, and they're talking about they're actually passing a bill that will ban the Bible. I don't know the ins and outs, whether it's just banning the Bible in public or whether it's just literally they're going to go door to door and taking the Bible. Again, this is an ex post facto law violation, but still, they're passing ridiculous laws that are completely intolerant towards one very specific religion. And so that's just one case. What about the case where parents who do not want their children to be exposed to the homosexual, transgender crap agenda or curriculum in their school system cannot remove their children from school? I don't know what the punishment is, but by law, it is illegal. And as a matter of fact, that was a big part of Common Core, was to make sure the teachers stopped exposing the parents to the curriculum. Boy, if they found out what we were teaching them, we'd be in trouble. That's why they have that type of a policy, so that you don't find out what they're teaching you or teaching your kids. And so if you start really looking at what the progressives are doing, as far as I'm concerned, like I said before, it speaks for itself because they're very intolerant. And as a matter of fact, they take a scorched earth approach. The secular progressives are the epitome of intolerance, and they use tyranny and despotism and fascism to obtain their ends. They will pummel you with lawyers, with all sorts of protest, shame. They will use every tool in their book. That's why it's considered a scorched earth approach. And they have no mercy. They do not understand the term mercy as Christians do. They want justice. And as a matter of fact, they have a word for it. It is called social justice. And if you listen to my promos, social justice is a distribution of both justice, outcomes, wealth, and other things. It is socialism. And or in this fashion, there's no doubt in my mind that in applying it in these means, it is communism. And so they will go after their enemies, and they will ignore all of the evil that their own warriors are doing. I mean, look at Harvey Weinstein. Has he been arrested yet? Has he been charged? What's going on? I mean, how long does this take to get this man at least into a trial? It didn't take too long, I should say. It did take a while. They levied charges on Bill Cosby pretty quickly. What's taken so long? I mean, there's been more than enough evidence. You see my point? And so Bill Cosby became a champion for conservative perspectives, and he bucked the progressive way. So he became a fallen warrior. And so that's what happens. You got to be very, very careful if you have those kinds of bones in your closet. So let me get back to the topic at hand. Parents and local governments need to reestablish decency laws again, and they need to take back their schools. Here is the important message. You can't do this. You just can't. The only way we're going to be able to set decency laws again and take back our school systems is if we perform the audit of the federal government to prove that they have no jurisdiction in the education system, that we've never delegated them that role, responsibility, or power. Therefore, we have to perform the audit, or what I call Republic Review. That's why you got to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, right there on the homepage, read the argument. It's an irrefutable argument. Academically, the states have all the power in this Constitution. You don't believe me? Call me and I'll walk you through this. Go through the bullets for the process for the audit. How's it happen? How's it start? What are these steps and procedures and so forth? And then go and look at the actual flow chart so you can kind of see how this thing flows into the federal government and how it conforms with the Article 5 process. Because bottom line, if you want them to be doing something, if you really want them to be delegated the power for education, there's only one way they can do it. You have to amend the Constitution to give them that power. Okay? That's the only way. So if you want to take back your education system, if you want to take back your health care, we have to perform Republic Review, period. So with that, I've got one more segment coming up. This is my last break, so please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So we can do this. I want to give you all the assurance in the world that we can do this, but we need the super plunger of education to undo all of this crappy education that even lawyers and even conservatives have. That's why 2 days ago, my focus was on what is a conservative? How do we define a conservative? And so I started going down this path of, if you understand the true principles, there is no compromising the Constitution. If you compromise the Constitution, you have weakened it, you have hurt it, you have damaged it. And so when people, supposedly conservatives, make political compromises with the left, they're not serving society. They are not serving the betterment of our society. They have compromised your and my liberties, because bottom line, that's what they're doing. If we conduct Republic Review, we will get the federal government out of all things that they were not delegated the authority over, leaving all these things to state and local government the way it was supposed to be. States were supposed to be the petri dishes of government to be able to explore socialism, as long as it's a Republican form of government, and all these other things that government can do. Then you can throw the school superintendents and administrators in jail for child abuse once you take back control of your education and your state laws and so forth. You got to remember, I think it was Mark Levin's, I think it was Men in Black, and he pointed out that in 1960, every single state in the union, every single one, even Hawaii, had laws against sodomy. And now all those laws have been taken off the books because we've lost our moral compass. That's literally an astronomical storm of immorality, cultural warfare, whatever you want to call it. And I remember people were saying, this was in the 80s. Oh, we'll never see homosexual marriage. That's just never going to happen. Are you kidding me? Look at it today. And I'm telling you, I'm at a huge vulnerability because I'm taking a position and I have an alternate position and they have a scorched earth attitude. So I'm sure that they're going to say, oh, we got to go after that guy. Again, bear in mind, I'm not saying that you take people out into the streets and stone them. I'm telling you that they have taken an approach to literally redefine your life, and you're not going to be happy with how they're going to redefine your life. I don't think you're going to be very happy with the immoral debauchery that we have to live with. But again, what I'm talking about with Republic Review and what we can do, this is the tip of the iceberg as one and one state once again gains control of its destiny, its resources, protecting its people, having the sovereignty and ultimate say over what you can do and what you can't do. Then you and your state can begin defining important issues such as when is the right time for a child to be able to engage in adult behavior. Therefore, as one starts looking at the empirical data and determining what to do with the education system altogether and what should the curriculum be. As far as it goes, I will tell you, and I've got a book coming forth on this. I've got a friend that I need to reach out to. Mr. Flint, if you are listening, forgive me because I know I'm really bad about, you know, getting out. I've got way too busy. But I have a friend that is going to be doing the research. But if you understand who the real stakeholders are in society for education, it's really not the parents. I mean, the parents have the role of ensuring that those children are being raised in a moral school and that they are learning the life lessons and the life morals that they need to. But the real stakeholder, the real person that is going to have to receive this educated child, this mass of educated kids, those stakeholders are the employers. And I say that because they're the ones that need these kids to be able to come in and to have at least basic functionary capacity of math, sciences, or whatever it is, so that they can become competitors in the economic market. Whether it's how many kids want to pull, you know, tomatoes or pick lettuce or what have you? There's probably not a lot. As a matter of fact, what I see in kids today, because of our education system, they all want $60 an hour jobs, and they all believe they're entitled to it. And they're not really willing to work to get to that point. They just give it to me now, and, you know, I'll do good things. I don't know what's happened. I believe we as parents have failed, because who else can you blame? You have to blame the parents and the education system, because fundamentally, we're the ones that are forming these children. And so we have to start taking that responsibility. But before I get more into this concept of schools and stakeholders and completely fixing the education, we still have a harder question. And let us go back to the previous question to close the loop. When is the time right for a child to be able to engage in adult behavior? Well, the answer is simple, folks. When a child is old enough with their education and skills that they can financially support their own children, being able to support their own sustain their own life, be able to feed themselves, be able to clothe themselves, put a roof over their head, pay for their electricity, when they have the ability to be self-sufficient and be able to provide for another life, then I think that's when they're ready. But it is an abomination placing a child on welfare to have babies. And this is unacceptable in an enlightened society. For having children being dependent on whether it be government or church or whatever the welfare system that is administering welfare at the time, that is an abomination. When a child reaches a point of financial stability, they should begin looking for mates that share their ideologies, because those are very important factors in marriage. And hopefully their church and their parents and everybody's been teaching them those important lessons. And one cannot ignore, if one wants the best things for their children and posterity, these types of lessons. If the parent cannot parent their child, then they should be responsible for their children's behavior and the byproduct of their children. In other words, and it's unfortunate, you see way too many parents, or I should say grandparents, taking care of their children's children. It's not just a parental problem. We have basically diametrically opposing, because I know very good people that have done everything they possibly could to raise their children upright. But when you have a school system that you are fighting, that is teaching these kids to be able to enable themselves and engage in all types of activity, then who do you blame? I've even seen good kids going to good schools, or I should say good parents, good schools and everything else, and still they got a rotten kid. So sometimes it's a crapshoot. I get it. But if a parent needs assistance, then that assistance must come from religious organizations and not from government. You know, it doesn't really matter what your religious affiliation. If you're secular, you have no religion, you're atheist, well, then you better create a really good community organization to start providing for you and your fellow atheist, so that you can, you know, share your good morals, or I should say ethics, because you don't have any. But you cannot put this on government. The government was never designed to do this. It was designed and left for the communities and churches, because religions will hold people accountable, not as a form of judgment. Let's be clear here. When religions are supposed to step in assisting families that are having problems, whether it be teenage pregnancy, trying to be self-sufficient, and so forth, these religions are not, 9 times out of 10, they're not coming in as a form of judgment, but they are stepping in a form of love, in helping one become self-sufficient. There is no greater feeling in life than being self-sufficient, when one can actually stand up and say, I was able to do this. I was able to put bread on my own table. And, you know, and recognizing the blessings of God and being able to bestow those opportunities upon you to put bread on your table and to be able to do those things so that you could be self-sufficient. Because that is what religions are supposed to do, period. And so I can tell you I don't have a lot of time. I will tell you that the data and analysis has been out there for a long time, and we've been ignoring it, and that we allow the progressives to promote their lies and their agendas. Families that stay together are the best for children, period. Husband, wife, father, mother, male, female, those are the best situations for the best for children, period. And if you want something better than all other circumstances, period. So that's what we have to do, is we have to maintain the family. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, yeah. By the way, I want to tell you that we are going to be getting into some Federalist Papers and some ratification debates tomorrow. I know that I just cut off, but that was for those regular radio stations. And so for those on Red State Talk Radio, I want you to know that I'm going to be diving back into some Federalist Papers and some ratification debates, because I think empowering you with the knowledge that you need in fighting these idiots that don't understand the Constitution is critical. Knowledge is power, and if we can focus that power politically, we will become a very effective fighting force in Republic Review and saving our Constitution. And so with that, I hope you tune in tomorrow, because I'm going to throw you some meat. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.